Did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face today? Did I say words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are the real questions. And I must trust that the little bit of love that I sow now will bear many fruits, both in this world and the life to come. I wish I could claim that I wrote that. It is Henry Nouwen, a very well-known theologian. Just stick those in your head for a few minutes. This morning, we are continuing our journey through the Gospel of John. And today, we get to take a trip with Jesus. We get to take a short, fascinating trip. And I call it a short trip because the chapter is a mere 41 verses. I say a fascinating journey because of what the journey entails. Another theologian, C.K. Barrett, writes of this chapter, "This short chapter expresses perhaps more vividly and completely than any other John's conception of the work of Christ." I would add how vividly it shows how much we each change as we move closer and closer to the light of the world, Jesus, and we accept his truth as our own. When we do that, we could become more and more part of his mission to be his light in the dark places of this world. Now, the challenge, of course, this morning is to fit all of the whole of Christ's work and our own in this world in 20-minute conversation. Jeff, you can put your watch in your pocket, please. And I want to know, most importantly, did anybody bring lunch? That being said, I think I can keep it around 20 minutes. We'll see. The Gospel of John, chapter 9. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus said, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked. "I do not know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he's our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim to see, your guilt remains." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Father God, as we take this journey through your scripture, speak to each one of us that which you would have us hear. In your name we pray. Amen. Dale Bruner. Bill's been talking a lot about him. He is was a professor at Whitworth College when I was there many, many moons ago. In his commentary, he gives us a brief synopsis of chapter 9. He writes, "In each scene, one question leads to the question in the next scene, until we come to a dramatic climax in the final scene, where both the Pharisees and we who read are asked to do a fearless moral inventory and to confess their and our blindness and neediness so that all of us might receive the very gift of sight that the blind man had just received." So now that I've given you an idea of how our journey ends today, might I suggest that we go back to the beginning and see what there is to see. Jesus, he wastes no time at all teaching us something. Verse 1, "As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth." Went along from where? I'm thrilled you asked that question. Thank you. Thank you. The last two verses in chapter 8 give us a clue. "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they, the Pharisees, picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Now, I don't know about you folks, but if I'm fleeing for my life, the last thing I want to think about is noticing a blind beggar, much less stopping to cure him. But that's exactly what Jesus does. And I get the impression as I read it, it seems like to Jesus it's just another casual walk in the park. No matter what the circumstance, Jesus did not miss an opportunity to do good. No matter what the circumstance, Jesus did not miss an opportunity to do good. So I asked a question. In our daily lives, how often do you suppose that we miss the opportunity to do good just because we're going too fast to notice? I suspect no one of us really wants to admit how many times that happens to us every day. How about I have to get out of the office and beat the traffic home? Or my personal favorite, I can't stop to help now. I have to get my sermon done, and it's already Saturday afternoon. I have to get dinner on the table, and I have to stop at the grocery store first. Oh, man, I can't stop to help that guy now. Church starts in 5 minutes. All very good reasons. Just as fleeing for our lives would be good reason for haste. Yet by example, Jesus shows us we need to be about doing good at every opportunity, regardless of circumstance. Verse 2 and 3, at first glance, seem to be a bit of a puzzle. Yet not really. In Jesus' time, it was commonly believed that diseases and afflictions were a result of past sins. Being born blind, this man either sinned in the womb, in a past life, or the sins of his parents were carried forward to cause his blindness. Jesus tells his disciples none of these reasons caused the blindness. Rather, it happened that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And to that I go, huh? What in the world does he mean by that? Did God cause this horrible thing to happen just so in a later time he could look really good and be able to heal this guy? No, he did not. What he did do is because this man was born blind, Jesus was able to use his life and do good with it, to heal him and show glory to God. Isn't it true that God often uses difficult situations, failures, even diseases, illnesses, uses all these as the beginning of something new and wonderful? I don't like it. I kind of wish it wasn't true, but it is true in my life, and I suspect it is in yours as well. So as I began my research for this sermon, I actually went online to see if anyone might give me a clue as to how I might approach a sermon on a whole chapter. One site alone had 41 sermons just on verse 4. I think there were 65 or 70 on that list. I quickly closed that and began to pray. I want to devote a short paragraph to verse 4. Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the work of the one who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Now, did everybody catch that? Jesus says that we must. We, you and me, we must do the work of the Father who sent him. And we must do it with a sense of urgency, because the night is coming when none of us can work. Huh, no idle time. We are always to be about the work of our Lord. Indeed, we must. So after this, Jesus makes some mud and with his own saliva, puts it on the blind man's eyes and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And then he gets to see. This is the only time Jesus heals a person blind from birth. Every other time he did it, the blindness was caused by some other thing. The blind man doesn't know who Jesus is. In fact, did you notice? Jesus doesn't even ask this blind man whether he wants to be healed. I find it really, really comforting to know that we worship a God who knows our greatest needs better than we do. And now, enter the neighbors. The wonderful, caring, nosy, nosy neighbors. Yet with every prying question, the blind man who can now see tells the truth over and over again. And each time he does, he gets a little closer to understanding the light. That's shades of Nicodemus, if we remember Bill's sermon. When the neighbors are not satisfied with his answers, they ask the Pharisees to get involved. And with each badgering question, he remains truthful, thus continuing his journey toward the light. He even speaks the truth about Jesus when his parents are too afraid to answer the Pharisees. They're afraid of being excommunicated from the synagogue. And that's not only their worshiping place, but their social place. Jesus then goes looking for the healed man, finds him, and he goes and looks and finds, just like he looks and finds you and me. The man's story ends when Jesus reveals himself as the truth, the Son of Man, and he worships the Lord. Just as the healed blind man was honest with his neighbors and the Pharisees, as children of God, we are called to be truth tellers. We tell the truth about Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all go out to the nearest street corner and hold up our signs that say, honk if you love Jesus. However, if God is truly calling you to that kind of ministry, go forth and be really good at it. But this morning, I'm suggesting something more like what Matthew says in chapter 5, verse 14. Live in such a way that when people see the way you live, they may give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It is the doing of the simple things, the seemingly small things in the name of Jesus. One more time. It is the doing of the simple things, the seemingly small things in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm pretty sure the Pharisees missed this part, the simple things. They made things so complicated and then got lost in their own complicatedness. Jesus called it blindness. It's how they missed Jesus as the Messiah, the light of the world. Spiritual blindness. We are the truth tellers. By what we do and what we say in faithfulness to Jesus, we take even the most seemingly mundane moments of our lives and turn them into doing the work we must do. The work of the one who sent Jesus. We are alive in mission. We are alive in mission every moment of every day for Jesus' sake. Still think it's too hard? I'm going to end with a quick story. And many of you may remember this experience I had. It will come as no surprise to most of you that because of my job, I spend a lot of my time wandering the hallways of Henry Mayo Hospital. One afternoon, I left the emergency room to visit a second parishioner upstairs. I climbed the stairs to the first landing and noticed a man coming down from above. As he got closer, I could see by his facial expression that he was emotionally struggling with something. I just watched him walk down until he stood on a step right in front of me. Without a word, I opened my arms. The man started to cry and fell into my arms and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. I just held on. Finally, through the sobs, I got a few audible words out of him. My son. His head. I see you. Eventually, I told him I was very sorry and that I would pray for him and his son. And a moment later, he was gone. Do not know his name. Did not know the son's outcome. I wouldn't even recognize him if I passed by him. I'll probably never see him again. In that moment, we did not need words. We needed each other. He needed a moment of compassion and mercy. And I needed to do what God put me in that stairwell to do. To give him that moment of compassion and mercy. Simple. Seemingly small. Not when God's involved. So I ask the questions again. Did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Did I say words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are the real questions. Amen.